Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to Captain.
Join Jan Shaw and her guests as they discuss cosmic creating and the path to reclaiming our power as cosmic creators.
Library computer, data being received.
To go where too few have gone before. A production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw. I'm known as the Success Alchemist and the Web Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net and thewebalchemist.net. And you can also find me on YouTube and Facebook, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on Twitter at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 18th of July, 2020, and today's show is entitled Scamdemic, Massgate and Maxwell. And apologies in advance, because today is going to be a bit of a rant at the beginning, because I was absolutely furious when Governor Polis of Colorado, and of course I live in southwest Colorado, he ordered a statewide mandate on mask wearing. Now, my nearest kind of bigger town, although it's still a small town, is Durango. And the city council extended a mask mandate indefinitely for Durango city limits. And fortunately, my little town where I live, Bayfield, Colorado, which is about 16 miles east of Durango, voted against mandating masks. Well, now we've got Governor Polis who is demanding that people wear masks statewide. Well, there's so much evidence out there about how the numbers of the COVID-19 cases have been rigged and the deaths have been rigged. And I'm going to share some articles on that subject. But also that masks are not only ineffective, but they're also a danger to health because they cut down the amount of oxygen you can breathe. And they also increase the amount of carbon dioxide that you inhale, because when you exhale, you know, the carbon dioxide is trapped inside the mask. And if you've ever worn a mask, I've done it occasionally, you know, it's so unpleasant. My glasses steam up. People can't hear you. I can't even recognize people. So this is really about control. It's about seeing how much the masses will tolerate to as an indication of how much more draconian control can be introduced by the deep state. So yesterday, which was the first day of the mandate, and incidentally, a lot of people were up in arms about the fact that Polis used the emergency broadcast system to communicate to people this mandate. So he held a press conference on Thursday afternoon when it was announced, and then put out an emergency broadcast saying that this mandate had been introduced and it would be effective at midnight on Thursday, and then sent another one out when that mandate came into effect to inform everybody that it was mandatory to wear masks. And, you know, why would he abuse the emergency broadcast system to communicate this? I guess it's so nobody would have an excuse of saying, well, I didn't know anything about it. Anyway, yesterday morning, I was, as I said, furious about this, and I'd arranged to have lunch with a friend in Durango. And I was, you know, pretty adamant about the fact that I would not comply with this order because it's unconstitutional, it's a violation of my human rights, and it's completely ineffective. And I was determined that when I went into Durango to have lunch and also to do some grocery shopping, I would not wear a mask. And I, from various chat rooms that I'm in, somebody had shared a medical exempt card, which basically states that if you can be exempt from wearing a mask if you have psychological or medical issues, and that it's against the law to question somebody about what those medical conditions are. So I decided to equip myself with one of these cards. I haven't used one before, even though I've been aware of them, to back up my refusal to wear a mask. So I arrived at the restaurant on Main Avenue in Durango. My friend had already gone inside. She got there a little bit before me. And they were checking people in at the door. And there was a sign up saying, you know, you must wear a mask to get to your table, to go to the restroom. You don't have to wear it at the table because obviously you can't eat with a mask on. So I was asked by the young girl checking me in whether I had a mask. And I said, no, but I have one of these. And I showed her the card and she glanced at it and said, OK. And I walked in. So victory number one. We did have a lovely lunch, I must say, a little bit of indulgence. After that, I went to the city market in Durango. And again, they had a notice up on the entrance door saying masks are mandatory. I walked in without a mask. Nobody challenged me. I did my shopping and checked out. And I have to say, I think I was the only person in that grocery store who wasn't wearing a mask. And I just did what I needed to do, checked out and left. And then I had to go to the UPS store to return something to Amazon. And again, a notice on the door saying masks are now mandatory. Police will be enforcing this and there are no exceptions. Now, a lot of people might have been intimidated by that and think, well, I can't go in there unless I have a mask. And, you know, if I don't comply, the police will be sent for and so on. But I walked in, no mask. When I got to the counter to hand over the item to be returned, the person there didn't make any remark about the fact that I didn't have a mask, just commented on my T-shirt, which said, age gets better with wine, so it was quite amusing, and dealt with, you know, the return, and I left. So I want to encourage people to stand up to this, to not comply with this ridiculous mandate, which is just infringing on our liberty and freedom. You know, America is the home of the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, we're not free if we're made to wear these stupid masks, and we have to be brave to stand up to these politicians who are abusing their power to force people to wear masks when there is no science to back this up whatsoever. And I'm also going to share something now which explains why these mandates are unenforceable. And this was something that one of my friends on Facebook had posted. It says, all information here confirmed by carefully looking into each aspect. Note, information stolen from comments, Wikipedia, law journals, as well as chat room posts. Yes, I stole it, so here goes. Governor's actions illegal under colour of law. What these companies and businesses don't seem to understand is that the state governors who have issued mandates for masks are operating under colour of law, since they have no legal authority to make laws of this nature. The governors know this, but they are gaslighting people into thinking that it's a law. It's not a law. So the governors are passing the enforcement of this mandate onto businesses. If you have a medical condition, you cannot be discriminated against your will to follow a rule that will do you harm. We all have a medical condition. We need to breathe. When these businesses infringe on our civil liberties like this, they are opening themselves up to lawsuits. If they choose to enforce unlawful orders against a protected group, that's everyone, whether they know it or not, So if you get a chance to speak to any of the managers of one of these businesses, attempt to educate them on the position they are putting themselves in, that they are opening themselves up to lawsuits. Then see if they change their tune. Under colour of law means that people in authority for using the law act like there is a law when there is no law. So if a police officer stops you for driving while black, that is illegal. There is no such law. And that police officer is liable to be sued. There is no protection for him by being in uniform. In fact, the opposite is true. He is liable to your lawsuit because he is a police officer wearing police uniform and pretending that there is a law when there isn't. In fighting the COVID hoax, the president has carefully avoided any actions which could be construed as being illegal or not supported by law. He has allowed the governors to rule their own states. The president did not order them to make up rules that are against the law. If the governors did that, that was their own choice. In the same way, the governors, knowing that their new rules or mandates or orders are illegal, pass on the responsibility to enforce those orders to business owners. As stated above, if a business owner tries to enforce one of the governor's illegal orders, the business owner has broken the law and is liable to be sued. When the whole nation catches on and refuses to obey illegal orders given under colour of law, then we will have our freedom back. When people join together for class action suits against the business owners and the governors, then we will have our freedom back. I mean, it's very unfortunate that businesses are put in this position, because there have been businesses who have lost their license because they haven't enforced the mask mandate. And, you know, when I was talking to the young servers at the restaurant yesterday, they were saying how they felt they had to comply, the business had to comply, because they would be at risk of losing their license. And I have to say, it was really sad. I've been to this restaurant many times before, and it's a really good restaurant. And I was amazed that there were hardly any people in there on a Friday lunchtime at the height of tourist season. I think there were maybe three tables occupied. Now, I know there's reduced occupancy because of the COVID, the scamdemic, but even so, that restaurant could have accommodated many more people than it did. So it really illustrated how businesses are suffering so much unnecessarily because of the political agenda to use this scamdemic to keep the country shut down, to keep people in fear, to damage all the advances that Trump has made in terms of the economy so that they can affect the outcome of the election. And as Q has often said, is this about the virus or is this about the election? Well, it seems pretty clear to me that this is nothing to do with the virus. It is to do with the election. Now, there was a post on Facebook from the sheriff of Larimer County, and he said, I'm away from the office, but I've read the governor's most recent executive order issued today. Here is my feedback. The power of the state executive is limited by statute and more broadly by the separation of powers in our constitution. There are specific powers granted to a governor during a declared disaster. Those are outlined and limited under Colorado's statute. There is also authority granted to the director of the CDPHE, not sure what that stands for, relating to public health emergencies under statute. This executive order cites the governor's authority during a disaster, not the authority of CDPHE, I think that's public health, during a public health emergency. Simply put, no matter the intentions of this governor, no authority to create a new law or an expanded definition of trespassing exists under his authority. The reason he refers to trespassing is that in the executive order that Polis issued, firstly, he says it's a law, which is completely not a law. But he also said, Q&A, it said, what will happen if I refuse to wear a mask? If you refuse to wear a mask as required in the executive order, you are violating a Colorado law and are subject to civil or criminal penalties. If you try to enter a store without a mask, you may be prosecuted for trespassing. I mean, this is ridiculous. And again, he states it's a Colorado law. Well, that blatantly is untrue. Going back to what the sheriff wrote, he ended with, COVID-19 remains a challenge to all Coloradans. However, that challenge does not create new executive authority for the current governor or anyone else. And he is not the only sheriff who is refusing to enforce this mandate. There are quite a number of sheriffs from other counties who in Colorado that are doing the same thing. Thank goodness. This governor is really overstepping his powers, and there are already petitions to recall him because of this, these mandates that are just totally unjustified. Now, what I also want to say is that this is not just happening in the US. It's pretty obvious to me that this is a deep state agenda that is being used in other countries as well. It's being used in the UK. I understand that there was a mandatory mask order made in the UK very recently. And I want to read a post that was put out by Magenta Pixie, who is a very much a Trump supporter and very much awake to what is really going on in the world. And this is a story that really illustrates how these numbers are being rigged to make it look like we have a scamdemic, and not some virus that is no more dangerous in most cases than a serious flu case. So it says, the following was written by someone anonymous, so source cannot be verified. However, listen to your heart and your inner knowing. Trust yourself to know the truth when you see it. Indignation and anger is not an inner confirmation of seeing and knowing truth. That is resistance. Relax, center yourself, and read with an open mind. Make an informed decision if this is truth or not. We all have the ability to know truth when we see it, so this has been copied and pasted for your information. But before you read this, I would say one thing about the last sentence. It's not the politicians that are behind this. It is the hidden government or cabal behind the politicians who control them in the same way the hospital staff have been controlled. Is this true? That I will leave up to you. So she's basically saying, use your discernment, your intuition, which is exactly what I've been saying ever since I've started doing these updates. So the story starts, I am a consultant at a major regional hospital. And by the way, this is a story from the UK. Magenta Pixie is based in lives in the UK. By major, you can take that to indicate that we have an A&E department, accident and emergency. I had agreed to give an interview to an anti-lockdown activist in which I would have revealed my identity. I have since changed my mind and only feel able to give an anonymous statement. The reason I have changed my mind is simply because that all staff, no matter what grade, at all hospitals have been warned that if they give any media interviews at all or make any statements to either the mainstream press or smaller independent press or social media, we may immediately be suspended without pay. I have a family, dependents, and I simply can't do it to them. I therefore cannot reveal my identity at this time, but wish to state as follows. In my opinion, and that of many of my colleagues, there has been no COVID pandemic, certainly not in the Surrey region, and I have heard from other colleagues this picture is the same throughout the country. Our hospital would normally expect to see around 350,000 outpatients a year. Around 95,000 patients are admitted to hospital in a normal year, and we would expect to see around a similar figure, perhaps 100,000 patients, pass through our A&E department. In the months from March to June inclusive, we would normally expect to see 100,000 outpatients, around 30,000 patients admitted to hospital, and perhaps 30,000 pass through A&E. This year, and these figures are almost impossible to get hold of, we are over 95% down on all those numbers. In effect, the hospital has been pretty much empty for that entire period. At the start, staff that questioned this were told that we were being used as redundant capacity, kept back for the deluge we were told would come. It never did come. And when staff began to question this, comments like "for the greater good" and "to protect the NHS" came down from above. Now, it's just along the lines of "shut up or you don't get paid." The few COVID cases that we have had get repeatedly tested, and every single test counted as a new case. This means that the figures reported back to ONS/PHE, Office for National Statistics and Public Health England, were almost exponentially inflated. It could be that COVID cases reported by hospitals are between 5 to 10 times higher than the real number of cases. There has been no pandemic, and this goes a long way to explain why figures for the UK are so much higher than anywhere else in Europe. The Trust has been running empty ambulances during lockdown and is still doing it now. By this, I mean ambulances are driving around with their emergency alert systems active, sirens and or lights, with no job to go to. This, I believe, has been to give the impression to the public that there is more demand for ambulances than there actually is. Staff only wear face coverings, masks and social distance when public-facing. As soon as they are out of public view, the masks come off and social distancing is not observed. Indeed, jokes are made about the measures, and I have heard staff express amazement that despite warnings on packets and at point of sales telling people masks are totally ineffective and dangerous, the public still buy them because a politician has told them to. We have cancelled the vast majority of operations, and of these, all elective surgery has been cancelled. That surgery that has been pre-planned, waiting list. Non-elective surgery, this tends to be emergency surgery or that which is deemed urgent, has been severely curtailed. The outcome of this is simple. People are at best being denied basic medical care and at worst being left to die, in some cases in much distress and pain. Regarding death certification, all staff that are responsible for this have been encouraged where possible to put COVID-19 complications as reason for death, even though the patient may have been asymptomatic and also not even tested for COVID. I feel this simply amounts to fraudulently completed death certificates and has been responsible to grossly inflating the number of COVID deaths. The fact is that regardless of what you actually die of in hospital, it is likely that COVID-19 will feature on your death certificate. I have included with my statement the detailed published guidance from government on death certification, which shows how COVID-19 as a factor is encouraged to at least feature on a death certificate. Remember, COVID-19 itself cannot kill. What kills is complications from the virus, typically pneumonia-like symptoms. These complications are in reality incredibly rare, but have featured under a large amount of death certificates issued in recent months. As long as COVID-19 appears on a death certificate, that death is counted as COVID-19 in the figures released by the ONS and PHE. I genuinely believe that many death certificates, especially amongst the older 65-plus demographic, have been fraudulently completed so as to be counted as COVID-19 deaths, when in reality COVID-19 complications did not cause the death. There are many good people in the NHS, and whilst I do not plead forgiveness for myself, I do plead for them. Most are on low pay, they joined for the right reasons, and I did, and have been bullied and threatened that if they don't stay on message, they don't eat. I know that if a way could be found to assure staff within the NHS of safety against reprisals, there would be a tsunami of whistleblowers, which I have no doubt would help end this complete and brutal insanity. I'm finding it increasingly hard to live with what I have been involved in, and I am sorry this has happened. To end, I would simply say this. Politicians haven't changed. The country has just made a fatal mistake and started trusting them without question. And I think the same applies to the USA. So I'm going to move on to an article by True Pundit, which really underscores what this person was saying. And the title of the article is "Exclusive: Top Medical Insider from Massive US Healthcare System Blows Roof Off the COVID-19 Scamdemic. Internal numbers are all rigged for profit, greed and politics." And it says, "If you yearn for more than a mere glance behind the secret curtain of how massive healthcare systems in the country are rigging COVID-19 numbers for profit and politics, a top medical insider blows the roof off of the rigged scandemic on the Thomas Paine broadcast." And this article includes the video that he's referring to. "The internal numbers, as feared by many suspicious Americans, appear to be all rigged for profit, greed, politics, and to further social justice. Disturbing details. The story is developing." And it's actually a Thomas Paine podcast. It doesn't include any more of the transcript, so I'll share the link in the description so that you can go and listen to it yourself. For those of you who follow Q, you'll know that Q has been dark for 15 days, actually. I mentioned that on last week's show, that we hadn't had any drops since the previous Saturday. And his last one before his latest series of drops was the 2nd of July. Well, he's also been dropping information about the coronavirus scandemic. The first one is 4583. CDC has been misreporting the data for coronavirus to inflate the numbers. And there's a link to a Twitter post by Emeril Robinson breaking: "Sources inside Trump administration confirmed to me that CDC has been misreporting the data for coronavirus to inflate the numbers." And Q goes on to say, "What would be the primary purpose of inflating C-19 numbers? Who benefits the most? Pro-America versus anti-America? Infiltration. All assets deployed. Election, not virus." And 4584, "They manipulated COVID-19 for political purposes in the 2020 election." And this is another Twitter link to Andrew Boston. "Real data, again, comparing seasonal flu deaths in Texas in 2017 to 2018 and 2018 to 2019 to C-19 deaths in 2020. Data from Texas Department of Health." And he's giving some links to the sources of these data. "Infection type and year, influenza 2017 to 2018, 11,917. Influenza 2018 to 2019, 10,020. COVID-19 2020, 3,322. So it's indicating that actually COVID-19 that has caused this lockdown and mask mandates and total destruction of the economy has far fewer deaths, has caused far fewer deaths than the annual flu season. And Q goes on to say, "CDC C-19 data actually lower than reported. Why did select D Democrat governors for mandate nursing home C-19 positive insert? Election, not virus. Win by any means necessary. Q." And then 4585, "Cover up. CDC labs were contaminated, delaying coronavirus testing, officials say." And this is a link to a New York Times article. And underneath, Q says, "How do you provide cover for invalid positive test results? Think poor. And that was related to the, I think it was the an official in Tanzania who sent samples taken from a pawpaw fruit, and I think an animal, I can't remember which one it was, and it came back with a positive result from a fruit. Really? Q goes on, the swamp runs deep, the news is fake, the war is real. Q. 4586, coordinated deception. Florida labs not reporting negative COVID-19 test results. And this is a link to a Fox News article about this. How important is Florida re-2020 election? Q says. One lab equals possible human error. Countless labs equals deliberate, coordinated. Largest coordinated miss, and in square brackets, disinformation campaign ever to be pushed by controlled entities. Who benefits the most? Q. 4587, COVID-19 narrative ends the day after the election. Expect cyber attacks attempts on November the 4th. And this is a link to another Twitter post, this time by Alexander Bowman. Safety standards and core rules for Washington State conveniently end the day after the election. Is this about a virus or the election? Who benefits the most? No debates. Can Biden debate? And it shows some screenshots of Washington statutory authority core rules. And it says, emergency rule effective July 8th, 2020, expires November 5th, 2020. And underneath it says, it refers to novel coronavirus prohibited business activities and compliance with conditions for operations. And underneath this link, Q says, C-19 narrative kill date, election day plus one. Prepare for 0 day, massive cyber power attacks, attempts on 11-4. I think he's saying attempts because they've probably got everything in hand and will prevent this. Let's hope so. Q. Now, there's an article here. It was originally posted on prepareforchange.net on June 27th and was reposted on Golden Age of Gaia. And it says, and it's by Derek Nouse, government and media proven to be lying to public about COVID pandemic. And this really backs up the fact that these statistics have been rigged and manipulated for political reasons. And the article says, from jchristoff.com, US medical doctor and state senator explains that the US government has sent official documentation telling doctors and hospitals to lie about COVID-19 death and infection numbers. And there's a series of videos in this article with that are really explaining about these statistics and so on. At this added link, the US government actually admits that every death counted as a COVID-19 death is either A, presumed to be caused by COVID-19, or was caused by another disease and also counted as a COVID-19 death. New York State admits adding thousands to COVID-19 death counts with no testing. Medical doctor in Montana explains that COVID-19 death and infection numbers are being faked by US government. German virus expert declares social distance isn't based on science and that COVID-19 can't be found anywhere on any surface he tested. At this added link, Dr. Andrew Kaufman clearly explains the faults in the testing system and explain why there is no virus whatsoever, and it's a Spiro Scaurus interview. Medical doctor explains there's no way to test for COVID-19 in the first place, so how is anyone confirming cases even though most aren't confirming, they're just making them up? State Health Department in Illinois declares they are faking COVID-19 death and infection numbers. Canadian nurse comes forward to testify COVID-19 death and infection numbers are being faked. Investigative reporter explains COVID-19 statistics are being faked. Head of UK National Health Services admits they're padding the UK COVID death numbers as well with people who never died of COVID. After basic investigation of government statistics, COVID-19 death and infection numbers are proved fake beyond belief. Two US doctors come forward to hold a press conference to discuss that the current statistics and the science in no way warrant a shelter-in-place order. Canadian members of provincial parliament is polite but obviously hints to some major obfuscations regarding COVID. Professor Johann Giesecke, one of the world's most senior epidemiologists, advisor to the Swedish government, he hired Anders Tegnell, who is currently directing Swedish strategy, the first chief scientist of the European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control, explains that lockdown, social distancing and shut down businesses to stop the spread of an infectious disease has no basis in science whatsoever. German MD calls corona lockdown measures collective suicide based on a spook after reviewing Sweden, a country that never locked down and didn't quarantine at all, where everything is perfectly normal. State Department of Health in Washington admit to adding people who died of shotgun wounds to the COVID dead count. Doctor with several degrees from MIT explains the numbers are being faked and why they're being faked. Nurse explains hospitals are empty and laying off nurses because no one is sick. Houston set to demolish a $17 million temporary medical tent for COVID victims because it didn't even see one patient. Wisconsin government pays $10 million for a temporary COVID tent for the overflow of COVID sickness. Yet again, no, not one patient. Chicago invests $65 million in a conventional center to treat 3,000 COVID patients. It shuts down after servicing 30. Nightingale Hospital in the UK closed after ramping up for 4,000 beds and seeing only 50. What sort of pandemic is absent of any sick people? New York Field Hospital with 2,500 beds, costing tens of millions, closes after seeing 18 patients. Cape Cod, 100-bed unit for COVID patients, closes after seeing not one patient. New Jersey, the same. $660 million spent on 16 field hospitals in the US waiting for the big rush. Almost no one showed up. Funeral directors in New York come out to testify that they're being pressured to toe-tag everyone as COVID-19 when the cause of death wasn't COVID-19. Italian leader explains the faking of COVID deaths in Parliament. And yet another member of Italian Parliament takes the House floor to explain that not only is the pandemic fake, it's being used as a backdrop to remove human rights and poison people with a new untested vaccine. Austrian Member of Parliament unloads on the Minister of Health for lying to the Austrian public about COVID-19 and plunging the country into complete disaster based on weaponized fear, fibs and fabrications. In this article with English translation, we see another Italian Member of Parliament explaining why people are sick in Italy and how the entire lockdown and COVID-19 pandemic was a coup in that country orchestrated by outside forces. Trauma doctor in New York declares all deaths are listed as COVID to pad the numbers, regardless of what they really died from. How many two-week lockdown extensions will it take for you to start understanding? COVID-19 exists on your TV inside a fabricated government media illusion. If you look out the window into reality, no one can find it. Washington Post reports that COVID-19 is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated upon the American public in history by media and government. Orange County medical doctor comes out to question the validity of the numbers and the sensibility of the government's response, Dr. Jeff Bark. Medical doctor and surgeon out of the UK also explains the COVID hoax, Dr. Mohammed Iqbal Adil. Reporter in the UK points out more government lying about COVID death numbers, Paul Weston. Nurse in the United States comes forward to highlight the media is lying to the public about the numbers and busy hospitals. PhD in immunology and one of the world's most well-respected research scientists explains that the media is not telling the truth about COVID-19, Professor Dolores Cahill. Member of Irish Parliament questioning the faking of death certificates. At this added link, reporter John Rappaport explains how easy it is to start a fake pandemic and exactly how it's been done in the past. At this added link, the US government admits adding random deaths to COVID death numbers without testing. At this added link, we have UK officials do double counting COVID infections numbers because a nasal swab and a saliva swab around counted as two people when both tests came from the same person. At this link, the Ontario Health Force in Canada also admits to toe-tagging absolutely any death as COVID, whether COVID was involved in the death or not. Former Supreme Court judge in UK explains that the government is fudging the COVID death numbers, Lord Sumption. At this link, the CDC in the United States actually removed over 30,000 deaths due to COVID-19 in one night because of the public discovery of their inflation tactics. And even with those 30,000 COVID deaths removed, all other deaths are listed as merely being assumed from COVID because they were aware that the test to confirm COVID infection can't detect COVID infections. It's all about the CDC getting ready for the lawsuits regarding their fabrication. The UK government admits COVID-19 is not a high-consequence infectious disease in March 2020. So why all the government tyranny continuing to march forward? UK Minister of Health Chris Whitty ends up just telling the truth and saying COVID-19 is basically harmless and no greater a threat than the common flu. Israeli professor declares that locking down and closing business does absolutely nothing to slow the spread of infection, therefore lockdown and business closure has always been completely unwarranted. If you want to have the entire narrative linked together in a way that's easy to understand, hit this link, and it's a link to londonreal.tv, Fighting for Freedom. For people who speak French, these two documents are from Quebec, Canada, where the government instructs doctors to label any death as COVID without testing. In this video, we see a COVID testing station completely faked because no real person was interested in taking the test because no one is sick. And they also don't trust the medical or government system at this point in time. Faked by CBS News to mind control the public. Here we have a Facebook post from Lena Kay with 2 million views regarding her family member being listed as dying from COVID-19 when he in no way died from COVID-19. Dr. Vernon Coleman explains the new revelation that the UK government was conducting a full psychological operation on the UK public and that COVID-19 never existed. It was invented so as to manufacture fabricated fear in order to use that fear against the public. New York City nurse comes forward with documents proving that COVID-positive tests were faked and fabricated. And it gets worse. This nurse and many other nurses talking about the medical system using ventilators to actually kill the patients. Perspectives on the pandemic, the undercover epicenter nurse, episode 9. In Canada, a top constitutional lawyer is now suing the Canadian federal, provincial and municipal governments because nothing they've done or suggested the public do regarding COVID-19 has any scientific or medical validity whatsoever. In short, the government has fabricated COVID-19 and its solutions out of thin air. Everything from 6-foot distancing to the closing of businesses and from wearing masks to even the idea of sick people having the ability to make healthy people sick. There's absolutely no science on record to legitimise any of it. So this article is a brilliant expose of the complete scandemic, and it's probably one of the best articles I think to share with these doubters who are still under the influence of the mainstream media and the fear porn. So if somebody wants some evidence that this whole thing is a scam, I think this is probably one of the best articles to pass on to them. We really have to wake these people up to what's really going on. There's also an article on uncoverdc.com, and it's titled, "The CDC has politicized the pandemic," says senior administration official. And this relates to the fact that Trump has stripped the CDC of control of coronavirus data, and information will now be sent to central DC database. You can read about that on the Gateway Pundit. So the UncoverDC.com article says the Trump administration recently changed the way data collected from hospitals during the COVID outbreak is managed by the government amid growing concern with how the CDC has performed during the pandemic. The change was made in part because of its handling of the process. Since the beginning of the COVID pandemic, the CDC has been at the centre of controversy. First for its handling of testing and now for inaccurate and duplicative data coming from the agency. These issues, including antiquated systems and internal agency politics, have caused the Trump administration to shift the way the hospital data is being collected, moving it out of the hands of the CDC and into the hands of Health and Human Services. With many Americans growing more concerned about politicization of the pandemic and legacy media consistently politicizing the virus, there is a strong effort from within the Trump administration to fix the issues with data reporting and work on advancing coronavirus response. A senior administration official who spoke to Uncover DC expressed serious concern about politicization at the CDC, saying, "We have scientists who are working against the release of diagnostics that will help heal the American people, and we in the administration are concerned they will do the same thing with a vaccine. CDC has been doing studies and presenting analysis that is designed to hurt the president. They are laying out junk science that is designed to discredit the president, and they are putting out reports that are designed to frighten the American people. They are leaking, they are talking to the media and removing data from the website and doing whatever it takes to interrupt the president's coronavirus response." So that's all I'm going to share on the COVID-19 virus, but I really must emphasize how important it is to spread the truth about this, because so many people are still falling prey to the misinformation, the fake news of the mainstream media, and still believing that they have to social distance, stay indoors, and wear a mask. So we really have to wake people up about this, because it's being used to destroy the country and to attempt to destroy Trump's chances of re-election. And we really can't let that happen, because Trump is the only one who can take down these deep state players. And, you know, I'm just looking forward to the arrests that will eventually come in the public domain and take down these evil people. So to move on to the latest in the Ghislaine Maxwell story. So on Tuesday, there was a hearing to consider whether to allow Ghislaine Maxwell to be released on bail. This is an article from New York Post. Ghislaine Maxwell cries as she's held without bail on Epstein-related sex charges. Ghislaine Maxwell cried as she was ordered held without bail Tuesday, with a Manhattan judge ruling the accused sex abuser poses substantial actual risk of flight as she purposely hid from authorities. The 58-year-old British socialite and pal of late convicted pedophile Jeffrey Epstein wiped tears from her left eye several times using the back of her left index finger as federal judge Alison Nathan refused to free her from the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn until her trial next year. She's going to be held for about a year. I think the trial is scheduled for next July. "No combination of conditions could ensure that Maxwell wouldn't try to flee prosecution," Nathan said during a video conference in Manhattan Federal Court, where Maxwell appeared on the feed remotely from a closet-sized room at the jail. "The risks are simply too great," the judge said, adding that Maxwell has exhibited an extraordinary capacity to evade detection. Maxwell, the daughter of disgraced late newspaper baron Robert Maxwell, briefly hung her head when it became clear that she wasn't going to be released at all, much less to a luxury New York City hotel, as she had requested, until trial. Dressed in an olive-brown crewneck top with her hair pulled back, Maxwell occasionally sipped from a white styrofoam cup and fidgeted in her seat during the proceeding. She faces charges that she conspired with Epstein to sexually abuse young women. In siding with prosecutors, Nathan said there were no conditions of bail that could ensure Maxwell's return to court, noting her significant financial resources, foreign connections, and efforts to secretly move around the country following Epstein's arrest last year. The jurors said without a clear picture of Maxwell's finances, which prosecutors argued were purposely obscured, it is practically impossible to set financial bail conditions that would reasonably assure her appearance in court. Earlier in the more than two-hour procedure, Maxwell pleaded not guilty to a six-count indictment that could land her up to 35 years behind bars. I'm not going to read the rest of the article because I don't have time, but it's really recapping on what the charges are and how she was arrested. Again, I'll share the link in the description. Now, the plot thickens with an article by Western Journal, Ghislaine Maxwell married in secret, refuses to identify spouse. Prosecutors. Ghislaine Maxwell, an associate of a convicted sex offender and accused child sex trafficker, Jeffrey Epstein, is secretly married and refusing to identify her husband, prosecutors said at her bail hearing. Manhattan prosecutors divulged Maxwell's secret during her Tuesday hearing while accusing her of hiding the extent of her wealth, the New York Post reported. In addition to failing to describe in any way the absence of proposed co-signers of a bond, the defendant also makes no mention whatsoever about the financial circumstances or assets of her spouse, whose identity she declined to provide to pretrial services. Assistant U.S. Attorney Alison Moe said during a video conference. There's no information about who will be co-signing this bond or their assets and no details whatsoever. Again, I'll let you read the rest of that article. It's Western Journal. And then we have another New York Post article. Ghislaine Maxwell's Lieutenant Sarah Kellen may be arrested next, her parents fear. This is from July 17th. The parents of Ghislaine Maxwell's accused lieutenant, Sarah Kellen, worry their daughter could be arrested next in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking ring, according to a report. After Maxwell, I think Sarah's next, Kellen's mum, Mary Kellen, said as she choked up at the prospect of her daughter's possible arrest, according to a report by the Daily Mail. But the 74-year-old mum said her daughter was just another victim swept up in Epstein's cycle of sexual abuse, having begun working for him as a teenager. What happened to all those girls is horrendous, but I do feel that Sarah was also a victim, the mother told the outlet. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I can see she was manoeuvred or brainwashed. I just hope someone doesn't go and kill her. There are a lot of prominent, powerful people out there that don't want anything said. The 58-year-old British socialite and accused Epstein madam was arrested July 2nd on charges of recruiting and grooming underage girls to be sexually abused by her and Epstein, her one-time lover. In lawsuits which named Kellen as a defendant, Kellen is described as Maxwell's second in command, Maxwell's assistant, and even lieutenant. Kellen, 41, worked for Epstein for around 10 years as a personal assistant and has been accused by victims of complicity in their sexual abuse. In one case, Kellen was accused of taking nude photographs of victim Juliet Bryant for Epstein. Kellen's parents say they lost touch with their daughter when she was cast out of their Jehovah's Witness church for nude modelling. It was around that time that Kellen began working for the 66-year-old dead pedophile when she was 18 or 19, the outlet reported. I'll let you read the rest of that as well. I do want to include a couple of other things before the end of the show, including a couple of cue drops. But, you know, the extent of this pedophilia and sexual abuse is horrifying. There's been a lot on Twitter about Chrissy Teigen, who has been deleting thousands of tweets and also blocking a lot of accounts that have been commenting on her very questionable tweets. This article is by global247news.com. Chrissy Teigen threatens to leave Twitter if company doesn't deal with conspiracy theorists known as QAnon. Teigen, 34, says she has blocked more than 1 million people and deleted more than 60,000 tweets after becoming the subject of a bizarre conspiracy theory about the late convicted pedophile and financier Jeffrey Epstein. Teigen has faced a barrage of scary harassment, she says, since, following the arrest of his longtime associate Ghislaine Maxwell, some social media users alleged that Tagan once flew on Epstein's private jet. The cookbook author says she was also accused of being a pedophile. And the article goes on to list a number of tweets that have been deleted, but which were screen captured by a lot of the citizen journalists and QAnon followers. And they include some of the terminology that the FBI in a report list as pedophile code. So again, we've got another celebrity implicated in more of this pedophilia. And finally, a couple of Q drops that I want to cover, which were posted today, the 18th of July. The first one is 4588, Disney's Pinocchio, little boys taken to islands. They hide their sickness in plain sight. And this has a link to a Twitter post by QAnon John at QStorm1111. You will never look at your childhood the same again. And this is a screenshot from the book Pinocchio, and it talks about paying money for small boys. And underneath the link, Hugh says, do not give up the citizen investigation. Public awareness important. Bypass of controlled, approved topics. General public steered by MSDNC like a dog steering sheep. Have faith in humanity. Q. And then 4589, Epstein was Pinocchio with Geppetto Ghislaine pulling the strings, accuser says. And Geppetto is a character in the book Pinocchio. And it's got a screenshot of drop 4565, which was from July 2nd. Possible Epstein was a puppet, not the main persons of interest. Financed by who or what F foreign entities? Number one, primary, gather blackmail on elected politicians, dignitaries, royalty, Hollywood influencers, Wall Street and other financial top-level players, other high-profile, industry-specific people, etc. Two, feed an addiction, controllable, Maxwell family background, Robert Maxwell history, intel, agency, wealth, class 1 to 99. Sometimes it's the people in the background that are of greater significance. And then there's a link to a New York Post article. Epstein was Pinocchio and Ghislaine was Geppetto. Pulling the strings, accuser says. Ghislaine Maxwell was far worse than Jeffrey Epstein when it came to abusing young women and girls, according to their most outspoken accuser. In fact, she was Geppetto to his Pinocchio. She was pulling the strings, Virginia Roberts Gouffray told CBS This Morning of Maxwell on Thursday, calling Maxwell the mastermind and a monster. Ghislaine was much more conniving and smart than Epstein ever was, Gouffray said. I know that woman. I've known her really well. Put it this way, Epstein was Pinocchio and she was Geppetto. Gouffray had still more choice words for Maxwell. She is a monster. She is worse than Epstein. She did things even worse than Epstein did. She was vicious. She was evil. And she's a woman. Gouffray called Maxwell's arrest 2 weeks ago on charges that she recruited girls for Epstein a moment that was momentous and just surreal. It's one of those life moments that I'll never forget. Also, Thursday it was revealed that Maxwell had secretly taken a husband in order to safeguard her fortune as prosecutors and lawsuit plaintiffs circled closer. Maxwell's claimed romantic connection to Epstein himself was also a sham. Christina Oxenberg, a cousin to the British royal family and a one-time pal of Maxwell, has said recently. Gouffray has said in civil suits and interviews that she was recruited into Epstein's revolving roster of young slaves by Maxwell when she was 16 years old. She has accused Maxwell of ordering her to bed Prince Andrew 3 times when she was 17, a claim the prince has denied. Maxwell remains held without bail at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn. So that's all I have time for today. I think we're going to see much more come out about the Ghislaine Maxwell case, and, you know, the pedophilia is being more and more exposed. I just hope the people out there who are in denial about it start to wake up and realise how widespread this is among celebrities and other deep state players. So that's it for this week. If you'd like to find out more about what I do, go and see the successalchemist.net and the webalchemist.net. On the successalchemist.net, I have a lot of blog posts helping people to overcome limiting beliefs, fear, self-doubt, and how to really fulfill their full potential. So go take a look. And if you're interested in what I do, please schedule a free success strategy session. I'd be really happy to help with any issues that you're facing that are really blocking your success. Thank you for listening, and I hope you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next week, covering the latest in world affairs. And I'd also like to thank Nancy, as always, for producing and for giving me the opportunity to be a host on the Cosmic Reality Radio station. Bye for now.
You have been listening to the Cosmic Creating Radio Show with Jan Shaw, a production of Cosmic Reality Radio.
Live long and prosper.